Amen. You know, as far as the music goes and the music ministry here, I was talking with Brother James today, and he was his first day leading singing down there in Tennessee. And so Tanya's not playing the piano. They already had a pianist. And the guy who was playing the piano was trying to lead from the piano as well. That's why Brother James is now leading the singing. And James and I were talking, and he said, I gave him the list of songs that I thought we could do. And then I had to redo the list of songs we had to do because he didn't know them. And he said, Holy, Holy, Holy was on the list. And he is able to deliver thee. And I think All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And I thought, good night, those are just staples. I don't even know, like, how could you go without singing Holy, 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 like, ever? I don't even know. Like, the other ones are good too, but Holy, 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 I mean, I might be able to let a pass go on a couple of them other ones, but I thought, my goodness. And he said, so I'm going to have to start introducing them to some new songs. I said, man, those are in their hymn book and they don't sing them? Like, come on. So we have a hymnal of almost 900 here, and we don't even... 450? Are we really that high? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you this. Most churches sing less than 100 in a year. They'll sing less than 100 different hymns. And if they get to 100, you're amazed. You're four times that here. That's not just Brother Andrew. I mean, we've tried to keep that, and Brother Andrew's expanded upon it and built on it a little bit more. So I like it. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we'll be again tonight, continuing on these heroes of the faith here we've been looking over. And so did you say that to build up Brother Andrew? No, I want you to know that most people don't get that. The idea of a new song is weird to them. Like, what do you mean we're going to sing a new one? There is more. We have almost 900 in ours. There's way more than that. We've got, how many is that one that you gave me? It's over 1,000 in that one, and that's got all sorts of ones that I had never even seen, and I'm reading through them going, these are amazing. When John ends the book of John and he writes that if everything were told of Jesus Christ, that the world itself could not contain the volume of books that should be written. Your hymnal is just one of many, and it's amazing. So don't take it for granted. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to get off of music, I promise. He told me that today, and I'm so blown away. That I'm like, how do you not know? That's just, you're doing a disservice to yourself to not know some of those hymns. And so you've been saved for a long time and you don't know Holy, Holy, Holy. There's some issue there. Hebrews 11, verse 1, we'll pick it up there again and we'll read the first couple of verses here and then jump down, of course, to verse number 20. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And of course, we talked a lot about faith here over the last several weeks, and we've talked about faith ultimately is belief, but we don't have blind faith and just belief in whatever. We believe the word of God. That God gave us a Bible, that it's pure, that it's perfect, that it's clean, that it's inerrant, that there is perfectly preserved right here for you and I. And so when we turn to it, we know that there is substance to it because God has come through and shown us the truth of it over and over again. And so we're going to build on that idea as well through the messages as we have already. But ultimately it is faith in what God gives us and what He tells us in His Word that gives us the basis for what we believe and why we can be so confident in what we have or what He has told us particularly to do ourselves. We can trust salvation because God promised it. Well, yeah, but that's just written in a book. Well, if it's just some other book, then it doesn't matter. But if it's God's book and it's His promise to me, then it's an infallible promise. And so that makes all the difference. See, not only do you have to worry, when you're dealing with people and you're dealing with things, you deal with somebody, and if their character is suspect, right, you're not so sure if they're telling you the truth, they're not telling you the truth, you struggle with whether or not you can believe what they have to say. But if God's the one who told you, there is no question about what He was saying. He is right, and He is always right. And so that's why we bank on those things, and we can trust those things. And if we are completely wrong, and God is not the author of the book, you're still better than you were before, so I guess that'll be fine. But turn over to verse number 20. Verse number 20, we'll pick it up there. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And so we're going to look at these three together tonight. And I've been keeping my W's pretty well for all of these. And so, of course, Abel was the first we talked about. We talked about his worship of God. And Enoch, we talked about his walk of faith with God. Noah, his work of faith. And Sarah, her weakness through faith. And Abraham went by faith. A couple weeks ago before Brother Fielder was here. And tonight we're going to look at our well-wishers. They gave out blessings. They pointed toward the future. Now, interestingly enough, on these three men here, every one of them believe they are near the time of their death. Isaac, not quite as close when he gave his. Jacob, at the point of his death. And then, of course, Joseph, when he died. All three of them. Isaac is well stricken in years, gives his, and he, you know, is going to go ahead and give out the blessings, and he thinks he's pretty close to death at that particular moment. Lives a little bit longer than we would have thought, and maybe longer than he thought. But he gave out that blessing thinking, I'm almost done here, and so I'm going to give that out. And his son and his grandson follow suit. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph all are right there in their end of the life, and they're gonna say things, and they're gonna give out these blessings, these things that they need to say before they step off into eternity ultimately. And interestingly enough, I think we're gonna link all three of them to some things that you and I as Christians can say before we step off the scene, and we can be some well-wishers by faith through what the Lord has told us. And you say, well, that seems awful strange. Weren't they getting promises and things in the Old Testament? Isn't this about the nation of Israel? Yeah, I'm not stealing Israel's promises. Don't worry. It's not what I mean, okay? We're going to see they correlate to some things that you and I can let other people know. And since we're supposed to die daily, we can tell it every day. You don't have to wait till you think you're physically going to die. You can die daily and you can go ahead and tell somebody. These great truths right here that we're going to cover. So, Father, I do thank You for the night. I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for how blessed it is to be able to come into a church and sing Your praises and hear the music and the preaching. And, Father, the Word of God opened up. I'm glad we could meet freely and come and worship our Savior. And, Lord, I pray tonight if someone here does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, today would be the day of salvation for them. For those of us who are saved, we can go ahead and make some proclamations and give out some blessings. And we can go ahead and speak freely of what great things the Lord hath done because You have gone ahead and given us a vision for that future. And Lord, once again, I do pray You would bless our night. Come back soon, take us home. We'd love to see You. But Father, if not, I pray You'd just give us the courage and the ability and the strength to stand in such an evil day as now. Lord, thank You once again for all You do in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, we'll look a little bit here at Isaac. We're going to be back there in Genesis, of course, a bunch to see these promises. But first of all, notice all three of them start out just like everybody else does. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. These guys, all of them have done these things, and they've done them all by faith. It's not just haphazard on how all these things happened. They do it by faith. Now, differences in the way the faith is demonstrated, but they all do, by faith, give out this blessing that they're going to give to each of their sons and grandsons and so on, as they're going to go ahead and dole these out. And so you find, first of all, Isaac, notice what he does. He blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, oftentimes we think of the blessing that Jacob stole, right? And we're going to cover that. We're going to get into that, right? Jacob was the deceiver, and he went in and he, you know, his mom told him to get all dressed up in the getup and, you know, cover his arms with the hair and do everything. And he went in and they took the venison or the goat instead of the venison. Amen. And they made savory meat for their for Isaac there, and they bring it in, and he fakes being Esau, right? He cheats and he deceives so that he can go ahead and get what he wants, which is the ultimate blessing. But Jacob isn't the only one to get a blessing. Esau gets a blessing. He just doesn't get the blessing. See, there's two different things right there. And Isaac was unable to undo the first blessing that he gave out already to, of course, Jacob. But he did give one to Esau. And he did both of them by faith. And so let's go back to Genesis. Of course, the book of Genesis, chapter 27. Let's look at Jacob well-wishing to his sons. Now you'll see right at the beginning of the chapter, here in Genesis 27, and I know all this is familiar probably. I mean, this is Sunday night, so I'm going to assume most people in here know all the characters here. All right, now maybe you don't. I apologize. I'm pretty sure, though, everybody in here knows, you know, that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 patriarchs, with Joseph in particular, right, as the one who leads them into the land of Egypt. And then, of course, the children of Israel with the 12 tribes leaving at the Exodus. So I'm assuming we all know how all these pieces are, okay? I hope I'm not overstepping on that. If you don't know who they are, Pastor Thomas is all the way out in the entryway. You go ask him after the service. Amen. And he'll fill you in whole detail, 100%. He'll get all the names, all the dates. He'll tell you everything, okay? He's got it all squared away. He's smiling back there. He's got it all squared away. You just ask him. He'll take care of it. But here we are. Here's Isaac, chapter 27, verse 1. It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. He said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, of course. And you know what he asks him, right? He goes out, go out to get that savory meat, cook it for me. And when you come back, I'll have the blessing for you, because I don't know how much longer I've got. That's basically what it is, right? I don't want to pass on and not officially give you the blessing. And so that's the plan. But notice what he said. He said his eyes were dim, that he could not see. Now that's a pretty awesome statement in this thought. We walk by faith and not by sight. So what is about to happen may be Jacob's deceitfulness, but it turns out, just like I talked this morning, it turns out to be God's plan. And it does turn out to be God's plan. It's exactly what he wanted to have done. Now, I firmly believe this. I believe that Jacob would get the blessing regardless of if he interfered. Because it's Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. You say, how was God going to do it? I have no idea. But Jacob didn't wait for God to do it. Jacob stole it. All right? So you may get things that God wants you to have, but you don't get them God's way, and God doesn't like that. And he makes Jacob have to deal with that later. So remember that. You may get everything you want and you think that God wants you to have, but if you do it out of order and not the way he wants you to get it, you're going to be in trouble with him either way. Right. So wait for him to give it to you. It's a whole lot better. Anyways, that's all extra. None of that was part of what Isaac was doing. And so here's Isaac. So his eyes are dim. That tells you very quickly, this is going to have to be by faith. He's going to have to trust, because his senses are going to lie to him. What you find is that everything that Isaac tries to figure out, whether this is Jacob or Esau, he's trying to figure it out. He can't tell. And so he just goes, okay, well, I guess it is. And he gives out the blessing. You know, sometimes you're going to say things to people. You're going to try to give them the gospel. You're going to try to do this. You're going to try to do that. And you know what? You don't know who you're giving it to. You don't know who they are. You don't know anything about them. You don't know if it's the right time, if it's the wrong time. You don't know if they're going through something that you have no idea what's happening. You have no idea what their plans are. You have no idea what their day looks like. You have no idea if they're stepping off into eternity 30 seconds after they walk away from you. You have no clue. You're meeting all these people, one right after the other. And you know what you find? You find that all these people are there and you are blind to whether or not they need Jesus Christ or they don't need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe they've already trusted Him, but maybe they haven't. And you're meeting all these people and you're strangers to them. And they're strangers to you. And blind going, I have no idea who is who. I have no idea what's what. I don't know what's happening. I don't know who they are. But that's why He told you to preach the gospel to every creature. Because you don't know. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Notice what the blessing is. He says, look down at verse number 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled and the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee. That's the blessing now that he gives, of course, from Isaac to Jacob, not knowing it's Jacob. He gives him the answer, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Back there in Hebrews, he said he gave them a blessing. He gave it to Jacob and Esau of things to come. You know what Jacob gets told without really knowing it? He gets told that he's going to be the blessing to every nation. And that is ultimately the picture all the way out to Jesus Christ. Through Jacob is going to be the lineage of the Savior, the Messiah that comes into the world. It'll go Jacob. And then from Jacob, it's going to go obviously to Judah. And from Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. And down the line it goes. And you go right through David and you go right through all these people all the way down to Mary and Joseph. And here they are. And he's the rightful king sitting upon a throne, Jesus. He has no idea that's what the blessing is, but that's what the blessing is going to be. All he knows is, I know God has given my dad the blessings and I want the blessings. And so I'm taking the blessings. You know, ultimately he's getting? He's getting the Messiah. He's getting a Savior. Hey, Christian, don't you think you could tell everybody about your Savior? I'll tell you this, if you don't die daily, you're not real good at giving out the gospel. Because your flesh doesn't like to do it. You certainly don't like to go ahead and get out of your comfortable, wonderful zone there and give anybody the gospel. We don't like to give out the good news of Jesus Christ to anybody. And then on top of that, you look at them and you're not so sure about them. Who am I looking at? And then you don't want to give the gospel. You don't want to tell anybody. Why? I don't know if they're going to hit me in the face. I don't know if they're going to yell at me. I don't know if they're going to tell me to go away. I don't know if they're going to call me bad names and hurt my feelings. What does that matter? You see, we get so concerned by what we see that we won't be blinded and just give the gospel. You know, it's not our job to figure out who needs it. It's our job to give it. It's not our job to figure out who's taking it and who's not. It is our job to give it. It is not our job to touch and feel and hope and figure out and can I manipulate and what can I do. It is not our job to go and feel out the situation. No, just give them the gospel. Brother Netterville, he did an awesome thing. It was one of my favorite illustrations for soul winning. If you were in the soul winning training, you'll probably remember it. And he talked about going to the store, and you go to the store, and there's a whole shelf, and it's all green beans. And it doesn't matter if you grab the Del Monte. It doesn't matter if you grab the Green Giant. It doesn't matter if you grab the store. It doesn't matter what you grab. You get home, you got rip all the labels off. You know what you've got? Green beans, right? because they're all green beans. People are people. Whether they're covered in tattoos and piercings all over their face and it looks like they, you know, fell down in a barrel of needles and whatever and came out and you're like, what in the world happened to this dude? That doesn't matter. Or if they're in a wonderful business suit and they look like they just walked off of Wall Street, you know what they need? They need a savior. Say, well, one guy will take it and one guy won't take it. And it doesn't matter if they're rich, they're poor. It doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter where they go to school. It doesn't matter where they work. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. All God cares about is he looks about that sea of people and he says there is sheep having no shepherd and they need me. Okay, well, can you wish them well? Give them some good news? Say, what's that? Savior's coming.
Amen.
And he already came. And he came to save you, and he's coming back for me. We'll get to that one.
Amen.
But he came, and he gave his life a ransom for many, and he died for your sins. The Savior has come, and he's willing to take you.
Amen.
See, that's the proclamation. Now, he also gives Esau one, and you find it later. He says in verse number 38, "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Now what's sad is that he doesn't have really the blessing. The blessing was done. The real deal blessing was done. But Isaac has something for him. Verse 39. "And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Oof. You know, he doesn't really get the best of blessings right here. You're going to serve your brother. Eventually you'll break that yoke and you'll try and get away, but ultimately you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. You're pretty much, you're a rebel, that's what you are. That doesn't sound like much of a blessing. No, but it's the truth. You know what you find? You find either you're going to be blessed or you're going to be cursed. And you know what? You know what helps people? What helps people is knowing that if they aren't part of the blessing, they're going to be part of the cursing. You know what puts people in heaven some days? The fact that they don't want to go to hell. The fact that they don't have to live the life that they have. The fact that this life does not have to be the way that it is. But if you keep going in this life, you may have all the great things in this life, but you won't have it forever. All the things here you can pile up and you can go ahead and put together and you can try and live the best life and you can have the best house and you can have the best cars and you can have the best things. You can pile up all the wealth that you want to, but it's going to end. And in the end, none of that will buy you heaven.
Right.
And Esau, you can get a blessing and you can be blessed in this life, but you don't have the eternal blessing like your brother got. That's the condemnation. It's the blessing, but there's a blessing attached with a little curse right there because he doesn't have the Savior in his line. As much as Muhammad and his people would love you to think, they do not have him in their line. That's that side. They say, oh no, the blessings went from Abraham to Isaac to Esau. Or from Abraham to Ishmael. And they try to side cut it. And the Lord says, no, I made it real plain. It goes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And there is no way around it. And my son came right from there. And Muhammad is not a greater prophet. I won't tell you my opinion of Muhammad. If you want to ask, you can go ahead and ask me later. But anyways, don't get mad. I'm going to stay on the message right here. That'll fire you up. If you know anything about him, that'll fire you up. And so you have Isaac. His blessings are about a Savior ultimately that's going to come. But you and I already have that Savior. And so our well wish, our blessing to others is to tell them about him.
Amen.
tell them about. That's pretty good. Say, how do you do that? By faith. Didn't God command you to tell them? Well, then it's by faith. Well, yeah, but I'm not real outgoing. We've covered this. That doesn't matter. Well, I get tongue-tied and okay, that also doesn't matter. He puts people in front of you. Your job is to give them the gospel. Yeah, but I'm not gifted. Okay, go back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, and you tell me what gift is the gift of soul winning and witnessing. There isn't one. Pastors and teachers, sure. But giving out the gospel, that's just our job. In fact, what's strange is when you read Acts chapter 1, it almost seems like it's automatic for us. He says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be. When the Holy Ghost comes on, that automatically makes you, ye shall be witnesses. You say, how come I'm not? Because you're quenching the Spirit. You're quieting Him down. You know how I know? Because every time you look around and you go, I know I should, but. And then you've done it so many times that He doesn't even speak up because He just knows you're not going to do it anyways. Isn't that the scariest part when God stops talking to you? Maybe it's because you just keep telling Him no, and finally He just says, okay, enough's enough. I don't even... Brother Fielder and I were talking, and scary word in the Bible is reprobate. And he tells the church, he says, to examine themselves whether they be in the faith, except you be reprobate. Reprobate's kind of a strange word. And I don't really think it indicates saved or lost. Now it may, and I could be wrong. Brother Fielder had a good one. He said it was abandoned by God. You read it in Romans chapter 1, and he gives them up, and finally he gives them over to a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient. Gives them over. Just say, what's he doing? I'm just done. You rejected me. I'm done. And now I'd hate to be like that as a soul winner. Or it's like, well, that area, they're just a reprobate. I can't even prick them hard enough to be able to get them to move over and just tell somebody about me and what I've done. It's quiet. That'd be scary, wouldn't it? Lord wouldn't even tap you anymore to tell anybody. Look back at, hold your place right here. We're going to jump right back to Genesis. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 again. Notice what he said. I'm going to move on because I probably should. He says, of course, in verse number 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Look back there at Genesis, but we're going to get to the end of Genesis. Genesis 48. We'll look at Jacob. Now Jacob is also by faith. And I won't read this whole passage if you want to. You find the blessings that Jacob gives out are in, I think he gives one in 47, but he gives them in 48 here to the sons of Joseph. And then chapter 49 is to all 12 of his sons getting their blessings. And then... And so he's got a bunch of stuff that he says and that he does, but the Lord purposely points out what he did with the two sons of Joseph. Notice he doesn't say the blessings that he gave out to everybody. He just said the blessings that he gave to these two, the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And technically Manasseh and Ephraim, if you do it in the order that they were born. And so you find out that in verse number... Verse number 11, Israel, Jacob. Israel said unto Joseph, I had thought to, had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. Right? He thought he was dead, gone, never going to see him again. And now he goes, man, I've gotten to see you, and I've gotten to see your kids, your seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands, notice that, wittingly. He knew exactly what he was doing. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long, unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. He says, all right, here you go. I'm going to set this up. Now, he wittingly does this. So by faith, you know what he does? He breaks all of culture. Right? The elder is supposed to get the blessing. The younger is supposed to get a lesser blessing. And he reaches out and Joseph has set him up. He sets him up and he puts the older so that he could just reach straight out and get him. Put his hands on him and bless him and give him the blessing. And Israel doesn't do that. Jacob doesn't do that. He switches him. And he's going, no, don't do that. What are we doing? Dad, you got the wrong kid. And Jacob says, No, I don't. By faith. You know what that means? That means the Lord must have told him which one should be blessed more than the other, and that the younger would be better than the older at that particular moment, and how that was going to work. You know, you say, I don't know what that means. You know what that means for us? That means the blessing is, remember, the second birth's better than the first. The younger you is supposed to be better than the older you. And he's supposed to win. And it's supposed to be that the younger takes the lead over the older brother. That's what he's trying to show you. And you know what the blessing is? Hey, don't worry, I know exactly what I'm doing. The new man should be better than the old man. Amen. And the new man will get my blessings. And the new man will be taken care of. And the new man has it all under control. But the old man, you watch out for him. He's the one that's going to get all the power and all the might and all the strength and all the great. That's not how it's going to be. Because I want him, notice what he said about it. I want you to look back just a couple of verses here to verse 17. Verse 16. And he said, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude. He's blessing them both. Right? But he says, let them grow in multitude in the midst. He's going, hey, let them have my God. Let them have my God. Notice who that God is. Verse 15. He says, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk. He's a God that wants fellowship. You know what he's trying to pass to them? He's trying to pass to them the God that he has. That's the new man. The new man. You know what he's got to deal with? He's got to walk with God. Fellowship with him. You know what you can, you know what you can encourage people to do? You know what you can give them a blessing in? Encouraging them to read. Encouraging them to pray. Encouraging them to walk with God. Encouraging to have a relationship with the holy God of the universe who made everything, and everything he's got, everything that you've got, everything that's around, he's made it all. He's taking care of it all. He's keeping it all together. But you know what? You and I have the wonder of being able to fellowship with the God that created us.
Amen.
And we take that for granted far too often. That we can come and go into the throne room of the Creator and not even worry about who he is or what he is. We just get to walk in, but we oftentimes walk in and walk out as if we just dropped off our grocery list and asked him to pick that up on his way to the house. And we treat him with no greatness and no respect and no honor. We don't really fellowship with him. We just call upon him when we want him and set him aside when we don't need him. Or at least we think we don't. We treat him as if he's just something we can take today and leave him tomorrow and he'll be there when I come back and everything's fine because the Father's house is always there. I hope that's not the way you treat him. Because he's a God who wants fellowship with you. Your fellow is the one that you go with. He's the one you're always hanging out with. He's the one you're always friends with. He's the one who's always closest. He's the one. He's the one that when everybody else leaves, he doesn't leave you or forsake you.
Right. Amen.
He's the one that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
He's the one that can do exceeding abundantly above anything you could ask or think. Because he cares for you and he loves you and he wants the best for you. But we oftentimes feel like he's just a credit card and we just swipe the thing and just go on about our business. And he says, how about you just spend some time with me?
Amen.
It's strange. Some of the best times of prayer are the times when you don't say anything. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, that means you just have no idea. When you don't know what else to say, and you run out of things to talk to him about at that particular moment, and you just sit there. Now, gentlemen, I don't know if ladies can do this, but gentlemen, I know this. You and I could sit in a car and drive 2 hours and say four things. Or we could talk the whole time. And either way, we're good. The Lord's a guy. All right, he is a man. He is a man of war, says so himself. He can sit there and be just as quiet as you can. And you know what he thinks? Just hanging out with my friend. And I'm here if you need me. And if you want to say anything, you can say anything you want to. And if you don't, then we'll just sit here. But as long as you're with me, we're good to go. I think Christians lose the blessings of fellowship because they get up and walk away and he never does. Not only is he there for fellowship, he's also, look, that last phrase there in verse number 15, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. He is a God of faithfulness. You know who he is? He's the one we can depend on. He's the one we can count on. He's the one that when nobody else is there, he's always there. He's the one that when you ask him, he'll go ahead and answer. He'll always give you the truth. He'll never go ahead and lie to you to make you feel better. You may not like what he says, but he's always right. I like it because he doesn't pull any punches. I'd rather have somebody be honest with me than lie with me. So go ahead and, oh no, no, everything's fine. Everything's not fine. This is a train wreck. Right? I'd rather somebody be honest and go, this is a mess. I don't know what we're going to do, but we need to do something because this is a mess. Than to have somebody go, no, everything's fine. when we all know everything's not fine. I'd rather have him tell me, you're dumb, stop doing that, than to go ahead and go, well, you know, I mean, I know it's hard for you. I'd rather have him look at me and say, hey, man up and do the job, than to have him go ahead and coddle me and act like everything's fine when it's not really fine. You know what he is? He's faithful because he's always there to meet my need.
Amen.
He's always there when I need him. He's the constant friend. He is the one that is always dependable. You know, the times that you and I probably feel the worst are the times that we let people down and we fail them. And I will fail. He doesn't. He doesn't know how to fail. And that's why he's so amazing. Not only is he the God of fellowship and the God of faithfulness, he's the God of forgiveness. Verse 16, the angel. Say, who's that? The angel of the Lord. That'd be Jesus. If you want to know more about that, talk to Pastor Thomas. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. Did the Lord redeem you from all evil?
Amen.
We were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Right.
It is He who has redeemed us. It's Him that needs to forgive us. You know, oftentimes I deal with people and they look at me and they want to be sorry and they feel terrible for what they have done. And they look at me and they want to apologize to me or they want to apologize to the person they hurt. And I look at them and over again, you know what I have to say? You need to talk to God before you talk to anybody else. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy... You need forgiveness from Him because you could get it from everybody else, but if you don't have it from Him, you are losing out. And the new man is not doing so well. So you got all that from Jacob giving a blessing? Yeah, that's who he is. He's trying to pass that to those boys. Hey, there's a wonderful God, and you know what He wants? He wants to walk with you and fellowship with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to meet your need. He wants to go ahead and just supply everything you could possibly imagine. He's always going to be there. He's always going to take care of you, and on top of that, He will always forgive you. If you're willing to confess it, He's willing to forgive it. Amazing, by the way, all you parents in here, wouldn't it be amazing if all of your kids got that God right there? And they had that kind of relationship with Him? Where they knew they could walk with Him, and they knew that they could trust Him, and they knew that He would always meet their need, and they knew that they could go ahead and whatever problem they caused and whatever mess they made, they could still go to Him, and He would still forgive them and fix it. I got to hurry up. The last one's Joseph. I won't cover the worshiping leaning upon a staff right now, but he got that staff because he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Why he's walking around with a limp. He says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Look a few pages over there in Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Whew. Why I'm crying so much tonight. Genesis chapter 50. Now you know what's happened, right? Joseph brought everybody over into the land of Egypt, right? And they're there, and his father's passed on. The brothers have asked him to forgive them again. We talked about that this morning, and then here at the end of the chapter, verse 22, Joseph dwelt in Egypt. He and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. By the way, when they do leave Egypt, they do take his bones with them, just as they promised they would. They do take them, and he does get to leave. Now let me tell you this. This is a future blessing once again. He's looking at them and he says, hey, you know what? One day you're getting out of Egypt. Future event. You are going to leave. This is all by faith. He knows that it's going to happen. Jacob talked about, his dad talked about it happening. He's talking about it happening. By faith, hey, we're getting out of here. We are going to leave. We are not staying in Egypt forever. And you know, here is Joseph, and he's proclaiming, hey, we're not going to be stuck on this earth forever. Egypt's a type of the world. He looks at the children of Israel, he says, we're not here forever. We're leaving. And we're going to the place that God promised we would be in. That doesn't excite you a little bit. I don't know what to do for you at this point. We've been talking about it all day. Brother Larry started the day in adult Sunday school. All the Sunday school teachers were talking about it. You know what we have? We have a day coming. Amen. And in that day, a trumpet's going to sound. We're going to hear that shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and we are going to leave. Amen. And whether you're a pile of bones in a coffin, like Joseph was, or you're alive and well like Moses, either way, you're walking out of Egypt. You will be called of God, and amazingly enough, you know what he shows up as? A pillar of cloud by day. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And here he comes. You know what he is? We're going to go up into the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what one of the greatest blessings is? Wherefore comfort one another with these words. He purposely tells us, hey, guess what? You need to comfort other people about that. I think it's strange that a Christian wouldn't want to talk about the Lord coming back. We're good at talking about everything. Why aren't we good at talking about the Lord coming back? Hey, he's coming. He's coming, and maybe today. I heard Jim White one time. Not the Bible corrector, James White. Jim White. That bugs me, man. Same man. I don't know how that happened. He was talking, and he used to be a missionary. And had this guy, the wife was saved. She'd be there at the service. And the husband, he was a Roman Catholic, and he'd go to the Catholic Church. And, of course, the Baptist Church would run a little long every once in a while, and that guy would come in the back, and he'd stand in the back and hear the end of the sermon. And that guy would hear him, and he stopped, you know, Brother White after a service. He said, you know, if I had to sum up everything that you talk about, you only talk about two things. You talk about this business about being born again and Jesus coming back. He says, if that's all I heard, that's all I ever hear you preach on. I feel like that's it. He goes, every time I come in, I hear the end, but that's all I get. I get born again and Jesus is coming. And he goes, how come I don't hear about that at the Catholic Church? He says, why don't you ask your priest? Why don't you hear about that at the Catholic Church? And he said, well, I guess you know the answer. Why don't you just... He said, no, I'd like to hear what he has to say. And so sure enough, he goes and talks to his priest. He comes back. He ends up seeing Brother White somewhere and says, preacher, I asked the priest why he doesn't talk about that. And he said that we are more evolved over here. And we don't have to use those scare tactics about Jesus coming back. Make people afraid so they behave themselves. That Jesus could come back. And Brother White just smiled and he said, "Oh, okay." He goes, "Now, Brother White, I know you better than this. I've heard the ending of those messages. I know at least you got something to say." And he said, "Well, I mean, maybe it's something more like this." He goes, "My kids, they're awful excited, and I tell them, hey, I'm going on this trip, and I'm going to be gone for a while, and it's winter, and when that spring thaw comes, and you hear the river in the back crack, and things start melting, a little while after that, I'm going to show up, and when I get back, we're going to Disney World." He goes, "And my kids are there waiting, and they hear that river crack, and the ice starts melting, and the water starts flowing, and the trees just start getting a little green on them, and every car they hear down the road, they're excited. Is that Dad? Is Dad coming home?" He goes, "But neighbor boy there, Johnny, he's not excited. He doesn't care." "Say, why do you think Johnny's not excited?" He said, "Well, I guess because he ain't going to Disney World." He goes, "You got it." "Say, why don't they talk about it?" "Because they're not excited about it." "Hey, Christian, why don't you talk about it? Aren't you excited about it? Aren't you excited? Aren't you going to the best place? It's way better than Disney World. I want you to know there's no lines. The rides are way better. The food is probably way better, and it's certainly cheaper. At least for us, it was free. Amen. You're looking at a place that is clean. There's no sin. There's no sorrow. There's no nothing that's going to harm you, damage you, make you irritated. It's a clean, pure, perfect, lovely place with a wonderful Savior who loved you enough to die for you. We need to be talking about it. We look around and we go, man, it's got to be soon. Well, then maybe you can tell somebody else. Maybe you know somebody who's feeling discouraged and they're feeling down and they're feeling out. You know what? You know what encourages? You know what's comforting? "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Over and over. You know what we know? He's coming. You say, "Oh, he's not here yet." That's fine, but he is coming. You say, "Oh, well, you know, he didn't come yet." Yeah, that little last word right there, yet. Don't forget, it's just not yet. But he is coming. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm with John. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand tonight. By faith, we know a Savior has come. By faith, we know a life with God, that second birth, is a whole lot better than that first one. And by faith, we know he's coming. And he's coming soon. And maybe, maybe, just maybe, you need to change the things that you're telling everybody. Maybe you could get the things that you talk about off of everything else and get it all on him. How he died for them. How he gave his life for them. How he'd save them. And maybe it's the gospel you need to start giving out again. Maybe you stop doing that. Maybe you haven't been well-wishing some other people and giving them the gospel and telling them the truth that Jesus will save them. Maybe you just keep lying to yourself, or you haven't been encouraging the brethren that, hey, the new man's better than the old man. A life with God is better than living out in the world. Giving into your flesh all the time. Failing him over and over. He's faithful. And instilling in somebody else that there's a wonderful God who wants to walk with them and dwell with them and be with them and help them. Maybe you just need to remember, he's coming. He's coming. He's not going to leave your coffin sitting there in Egypt. He's coming. Father, please bless the invitation now. Help us, Lord, to be the Christians we ought to be. To proclaim with greatness and by faith the words that you've given to us. Father, bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.